This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christie Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, recorded at the church's classic worship service held Sunday mornings at 9. May you be blessed to be a blessing. Our sermon today, August 29th, 2010, is False Prophets, and it's from the Hebrew Scriptures, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 4 through 13. Listen for the word of God. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in the land of deserts and pits, in the land of drought and deep darkness, in the land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into the plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross the coast of Cyprus and look, send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves. Crack cisterns that hold no water. Amen. Grandma didn't know what to do with the two little hooligans that allegedly were her grandchildren. She had never seen such behavior. She certainly did not raise her children this way. For these people, these little people, because they weren't children by the way they acted and the evil that they did, it was just driving her crazy. They show no respect for God or mortal and used one to curse the other. Well, what do you do when you're at your wit's end and you're a grandma and you don't know what to do? You go to the pastor. She takes both boys down to church to the pastor. We'll put the fear of God in them. That's what we'll do. And they'll go and he talks to the pastor, says, Pastor, you have to do something with these children. They don't respect me. They don't respect God. They don't respect anything. You've got to put in the fear of God with them and give something that will make them behave and make them realize that there's something besides what about them and what they want. And the pastor, eager to please, as every pastor but me is, said, okay, I'll do something and send one of them in. So one boy comes in. And there's a pastor there. He didn't know what to make of this. And the pastor starts out, where is God? Little boy. Where is God? In his Fifth Amendment, he didn't know what's going on. The pastor says, well, this is getting nowhere. So he says, go out and get your brother and send him in. So the guy runs out, go get his brother. And the brother says, what's going on? What happened? And the brother says, I don't know. God's missing. They think we took them. Where is the Lord? Says Jeremiah. Where is the Lord? Now, this phrase in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is always uttered not in a good light for God. It's always uttered not at a good time for God's people. When things are going really, really bad, when the people are forsaken, when they can't find any blessings, they say to one another, as Gideon said, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord of the Exodus? Where is the Lord when we help? And here we find, according to the prophet of Jeremiah, it's what we're supposed to do. The problem is not missing God. The problem is not missing God. The problem is forsaking God and turning to things that are worthless, that do not profit. In Hebrew, it doesn't come across in the English translation, but in Hebrew, the word for Baal, the false god, the fertility god, the success god, the get your riches quick god, the fertility, the rain god, the money god, Baal, is really close to the word prophet. Money prophet, not the good guy. And so he says, he turns from Baal and turns to prophet. It's almost the same word. And says there is no profit in Baal. There is no profit in finding out and going for the things that you think will make you rich, the things that you think will make you prosperous, the things that substitute for God. Jeremiah says God is accusing the people not of doubting him, not of questioning him, not of angering with them, those are all okay, but of forgetting him. And that's not okay. I had a wedding here yesterday. Great times, good times, wonderful kids. I think about all the weddings and marriages and all the way through I've seen and been part of it. And I remember one time we were watching a romantic comedy. I tell a story of my wife. Make up for later, but we were watching a romantic comedy, and this woman decided to go on vacation, and she didn't come back. She just stayed in this exotic locale, Italy or Spain or something. And you know, Betty Lynn's going on vacation without me next month. Carol. And she went to an exotic location. It wasn't Myrtle Beach, but it was Spain or somewhere over there. And you know how it's going to go. It is a romantic comedy. And she's over there and she's tasting and running around, kind of an eat, pray, love kind of thing. And my wife turns to me and says, you know, if I don't come back, you're supposed to come get me. Yes, dear. So I might be going to Myrtle Beach next month. But that is what God is saying. If I'm not around, you're supposed to come get me. If you don't know where I am, don't go after a substitute. Come and find me. You walk into the house, honey, I'm home, and you look for her. You call up and say, what are we doing for dinner? Am I coming out there? Are you coming there? You don't go off on your own. It's not a relationship. That's what God is saying to you. You've looked for substitute instead of me. You've forgotten me and went after other things. Things that do not profit. Things of Baal. Things of culture. Things that people tell you would make you get rich, make you famous, make you prosperous. That's what the Baal cult was all about. It was all about good times, all about lots of money, all about success. All about you do this, that, and the other thing, get all these flowers in, the rain will come down, all that stuff, and God, not so much. Look what we do today. It's our first instinct. When there's a tragedy, when there is a crisis, when there is a challenge, when we're upset about something, when there's a problem, when things go off the track, when things aren't going the way we want, when we want to do something good, when we want to find somewhere to go or the direction to seek, do we first say, where is the Lord? Where is God? Where is God in all this? Where is God calling us? Or do we turn to other things? Do we turn on this anniversary of the Iraq War, of the combat troops leaving Iraq at the end of this month? Do we turn to war? Do we turn to fear? Do we turn to weapons of mass destruction that we have to protect ourselves? Or do we say, whoa, 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 where is God? Where is God? When we're worried about our money, about whether we have the food, our daily bread, whether we have things to go, what about our retirement? What about the things in the future? Who secures our future? Do we say, where is God? Or do we say we are all in this together? Do we say, what is God's people's answer to this? Or do we look for flipping a house? And for a housing bubble that will never end. And for the Wall Street amazing things that make credit default swaps into some kind of magic money. And do we say, yes, the interest will go on and on. And housing rates will go on. And there will be no problem ever. And the capital market and the market will take care of us. And it'll be a boom. And it'll be wonderful if we just follow the market. That is our salvation. Or do we say, where is God? We put our hope in what turned out to be worthless things. It's like spending our life and get nothing but ashes. Where is God? Jeremiah says, why are you going after worthless things? And of course, the old standbys, alcohol and drugs and, yes, sugary treats, which will be next to the list on the list. Do we look for our salvation in them? Or do we look for God? This whole Jeremiah passage is set up like a court case. It is the way court works in the ancient world. It's the way that you brought your case and you argued your case and you said what the other person is wrong and prosecute about, what the charge is against them. And this is all in Jeremiah. And there is evidence to convict them of not being faithful, of divorced from God who was faithful. Jeremiah says, do not throw away your relationship with God. Do not throw away your intimacy with the Lord. Do not throw away the Lord who is your companion in life. Do not throw it away for things that hold no water. For things that are worthless. Strangely, you will become worthless in yourself. How can you be worthwhile in your life? How can you find worthwhile? You can look for a political party. You can look for a TV commentator. You can look for a charismatic leader. You can look for a financial instrument. You can look for all sorts of things, but they will not satisfy as God does. They are not worth what God is. Give your life to worthy things, to be worthy in the process. Will that be? We saw in an article, Good Neighbors, and how the people are working to help their neighbors with the food pantry. That was just in the paper. We see the articles of people knowing that if people are taking other people to the doctors and helping them out when they can't drive. We know we've seen all sorts of things happen here. People giving food, people giving of their money, people giving of their time to help other things for worthy, worthwhile things. But it all begins by asking all the time, where is God? And being worthy of that. Almost 50 years ago yesterday, Dr. Martin Luther King talked about having a dream. He talked about success in this life. He talked about what he was giving his life to. Later on, in his final speech, he talked about seeing the promised land, and even though he may not get there with us, he knew it was coming, and we were on the way. He saw where God was. In that speech, he said, unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant. That is worth everything. Build up your worth. Find God. Come home and yell, God, I'm home. Where are you? God, what are we doing tonight? God, I missed you. God, I love you. God, happy anniversary. It's been a wonderful life. Amen.